둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Looking to buy your dream home or rent that perfect apartment? With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Set up your gotta-have-it wish list, and Redfin will send you real-time notifications for properties that match. And when you're ready to see it in person, scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Thinking about selling? Redfin can do that too. In fact, Redfin agents close twice as many deals as other agents, so they know how to get the best price for your home. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin charges half of what others often charge. So you could save big, like really big. Last year, Redfin saved home sellers $118 million. So whether you're buying, renting, or selling, Redfin's ready to help you win. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Let me see if I got my stuff together here.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You'll get three new interviews sent to you, just like this one, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Of course, you can grab us anywhere you get your podcast from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Of course, we've had some great guests drop by lately, including Vernon Reed of Living Color, St. Vincent, James Bay, Natasha Rothwell, she's starring in How to Die Alone on Hulu, Dave Perner from Soul Asylum, Joe Scarborough from MSNBC's Morning Joe, H. John Benjamin, you know him as the title voices of Archer and Bob's Burgers, Keith Urban, Tim Heidecker, Les Claypool of Primus, David Yao of the Jesus Lizard, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Troy Sanders of the band Mastodon. They are fresh off the explosive tour with Lamb of God, and we're going to reflect on that ride that celebrated both bands' genre-defying 2004 albums. For Mastodon, it was, of course, Leviathan, the towering Moby Dick-inspired beast that cemented their status as one of prog metal's boldest risk-takers. Troy's going to muse on the tour's energy, comparing it to a reunion of old comrades-in-arms. The band's fearless ethos, which began with Leviathan and continued with the cosmic brain-melting Crack the Sky. We'll get into that as well. It's always been about pushing limits with them. And now, with 15 years of Crack the Sky behind them, Troy's ready to dive into new uncharted waters once again, hinting at the band's latest creative spark that could ignite another daring chapter in Mastodon's ongoing evolution. We get into all that and more, discussing the 15th anniversary of Crack the Sky and this tour they just did with Lamb of God. It's Kyle Meredith with Troy Sanders of Mastodon.
You're a busy person. Three interviews a week.
Woo! Try to stay busy, but you know, I get to speak to fine people like you, so you know, no complaints. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm. We just finished about 7 weeks on the road, so I'm 3 days into reacclimating to home life, which is great.
Yeah, I thought the timing was actually kind of funny on my end. I had Randy from Lamb of God, either the day or the day before the tour started. And now here we are with you. It's a nice bookend that you. So for anyone who doesn't know, you all were on tour with Lamb of God. You were both celebrating your 2004 albums, Leviathan and Ashes of the Wake, which, you know, those package tours, especially when you can lock it up like that. That was a really special thing.
Yeah, it was something we've been talking about for years. And now that it's over, it was really powerful. You know, the co-headline thing has worked really, really well for us the past 5 or 6 years. Yeah, man, it's solid. It was fantastic. We've been friends with the Lamb of God guys for 20 plus years. And we have so much mutual respect for one another and appreciation and friendship, most importantly. So it was a great one. It was a long one, but a great one.
As you're saying, those tours and everything, I mean, musicians these days, you have to be crafty. You know, everybody's like, I saw one of the memes, like, you know, learning that you have to be a content creator as well as a musician. And, you know, you got the guy rubbing his face like this and everything. But to have the opportunity, I mean, you put in the work, they've put in the work, like, those, as you say, those co-headlining bills, I would assume that makes everything at least a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's more of teamwork. You know, it's like no matter who plays before that, the closer, or if it rotates like we've done in the past, that's not really the issue. It's more of, you know, the bigger, you know, bigger and better with numbers and like just joining forces. It's never like competition. It's always more of a, hey, man, I really appreciate what you guys do and vice versa. And it's just, you know, the whole idea that everybody in a band who sacrifices everything to go try to make it work for themselves. It's, you know, when we played with hundreds of bands over the years, and I always have felt like once you are cut from that cloth, like you're all in the same boat, so to speak. And we're all traveling, trying to do the same things for the greater good of music and for all the right reasons. So no difference with what we just did with Lamb of God. It was celebrating two records that changed each of our band's careers, but it was a damn good time doing it. And a lot of people showed up and the shows were great. The energy was magical. And here I am at home.
Here
all done.
Home. Made it through. I do think, I mean, it's funny to look back and think about, because you hinted on it there for a minute, like in the past where artists would be competitive. And some of that was, you know, especially if you were women, you know, they were pitted against each other by press, by labels and everything, but even by band, you know, by any band, like there in the past, you would hear a little bit about that competition that seems to have like left a long time ago. It's like, we can't be messing with it. Like everybody's doing this, as you say, like we're all in this together, you know, for the cliche, you know, phrase there.
Yeah, that's always been our attitude and outlook. It's never been about, I mean, I think if it was going to be competitive, we would have probably be playing a different type of music when we started. So it's more like, wow, you're kind of trying to, you know, create your own unique path. And so are we. And ultimately, it's about putting in the hard work, especially up front. You know, it was 5 years of sleeping on floors and playing anywhere that people would let us play, whether it was a kitchen, a basement, a VHF hall, a boat shed, a dive bar, you name it. If we were allowed to play there, we'd play there. So the tour that we just wrapped up, and I'm still kind of in that headspace, celebrating what we did, you know, the records 20 years ago that brought us from dive bars to actual venues. So yeah, it was a beautiful thing. And love the Lamb of God guys.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Troy Sanders. Sticking around, because in a second we're going to jump to Crack the Sky for the 15th and this beautiful version that you all have just released. But
kind
of building into that, though, it's like when I look back, it's like how perfectly timed that you were a part of making it perfectly timed for heavy music to have landed where it did in the late 90s into the early 2000s, getting into the, you know, the more prog style of heavy music that you guys were definitely doing, that Tool was doing, that Coheed and Cambria were, you know, it was just like to be a part of that. We had seen the heavy scenes of the 70s and 80s, but when you look back, I don't know the actual question here, but does anything really surface in your memory about just what was happening? Because I bet there were pop stations playing some of this stuff, you know, to a certain degree. Like, it was everywhere.
Are you talking about what the four of us in Mastodon, what our outlook was at the time?
Yeah, because you were suddenly, as you said, you were on the floor, but now when it hits, like there was, and not to eye roll the big phrase here, there was a scene happening. Like it was there, it was everywhere.
I would chalk it up to a combined energy of taking chances and being bold and not being afraid to distance ourselves from all the bands we were on tour with at the time of the early 2000s, as well as executing it, looking back, executing it quite well, and like fortunate circumstances, because it wasn't just talent and it wasn't just good luck. It was a combo, you know, of working hard and getting opportunities and making them work. With Leviathan in 2004, we, you know, wanted to step out and try to do a conceptual record based on the story of Moby Dick. And our band was very small at the time, but it easily could have, you know, killed our band if it didn't work out right. Thankfully, it went the opposite way, and we were able to create lyrical themes and art and imagery wise with the help of Paul Romano, our awesome album artist, really create the combine the visuals with the lyrical stories, all tied into the Moby Dick story from top to bottom. And thankfully we made it work and it was very well recepted. And it took us from, you know, the VHF halls to actual proper tours and venues. So it was a risk, but you know, if you truly believe in something, and if the four guys in your band share the same energy and the same enthusiasm, there's no reason to not give it a go.
And look what it did, where it launched you guys in the projection, you know, because as we're talking about Crack the Sky, I mean, suddenly you all can pull off concept albums. I was, a friend popped into my office earlier and I was talking about, you know, was about to do this interview and we were talking about Crack the Sky. And he said, which one's that? And I said, oh, you know, there's this Paraplegic and Astral Projection and there's Rasputin. And suddenly as I'm saying, it's like, God, this is fucking bonkers. I've known this story forever, but I don't think I've ever said it out loud to explain it to someone. Like,
yeah,
to have tapped into what you all did, like, how do you go from Moby Dick to whatever Crack the Sky ends up being?
I feel the same way when I remember trying to explain the storyline. It just sounds insane. You know, but I always think of when you watch a bizarre drama or a horror flick or something, and then you think like 2 years prior in the writing room, someone was pitching this idea and it sounded it was insanity. But often, again, if done right, and a lot of it comes with luck, you can pull it off. But I think with Crack the Sky, the storyline was one thing. It was out there. But most importantly, I think that the music was the obvious factor, which backed up that record and propelled it to becoming our, you know, besides Leviathan, Crack the Sky is the other, you know, fan favorite. And that launched us to the next level of our career as well. So, you know, bizarre storyline, tapping in with many, many personal subject matters amongst the bandmates. Thankfully it worked, you know, I don't know.
And that's the other trick, right? Because it's personal stories masked, you know, or whatever, behind this incredible other big, you know, fantastical story. Like that's where, because I think you could just, you know, word soup some stuff and then connect the dots later. But for that stuff to actually mean more than just the story on the page, man, those layers, that's all the greatest stuff, right? The greatest stuff has the layers.
I agree. And I think that was because when this idea of the conceptual idea of Crack the Sky, just like Leviathan, all four of us in the band, we were fully on board. We were all in. So I think every time someone contributes something, whether it's a riff or more importantly, a lyrical, a phrase or a chorus or whatever it is, we're all on the same page and we're all going for it. And there's no apprehension of like, those two guys want to do this story. I think it's ridiculous. It would impede on your energy going into it. And with something like Crack the Sky, it definitely, to many degrees, took all four of us to be unified, you know, to dive in and be all in and create that, which I think helped give it the strength that it had to make an impact.
Watching the making of and hearing you all talk about how, you know, I think what you said was you wanted to make a classic rock record, and you were saying classic rock record, not a classic rock record, but a classic rock record.
Right.
What's the other quote? We're a different band. We're becoming a different band. Like, to notice that in that moment, it seems really special. Was it a big leap musically for you all to be able to do that?
Yeah, because the music was coming out on next level stuff. And majority of the stuff was written by our guitar player, Brent Hines. And then he would bring things in and we would collaborate. Everyone chipped in and wrote different pieces, but it was kind of like something special was happening, something different. And it was obviously a change of direction from the previous 9 years of our band. We were wanting to explore cleaner lyrics, but more importantly, besides being clean, we wanted to include melody lyrically, because the first couple records, we were just so angry. We were in a van, just having a great time, but the ferocity was all that we knew. So everything was very aggressive, over the top. And when you tour constantly, sometimes you would like to exercise some other options and not just be resort to aggressive vocals and screaming 150 nights of the year. So it was definitely growth musically, lyrically, and vocally. So the whole package was trying to mature, I guess. But that's fair after a solid, you know, nearly 10 years of a band. But yeah, we could feel the change happening, and that's the direction we wanted to go. And I still, you know, every record to a certain level, we're always trying to change it up, go a different direction, try something, grow, evolve. The four of us have never had any desire to be complacent and just be like, you know, hey, this record sounds just like the last one. And that's cool. Like, it's just never been, we've always wanted to do more than that for ourselves. And every record we've done has always been for ourselves. You know, it's a lot of people don't realize that art, in my opinion, should be selfish. You know, you need to love it and you need to be enthusiastic with what you're doing. And when you share that energy with three or four other people, it's pretty damn special and it's rare. So I love the idea of challenging ourselves in all aspects, all facets of being in a band, you know, not being afraid to take a risk, you know, and step outside your comfort zone and your box and try something different. And at the end of the day, if the four of us are stoked on it, that's all that matters. If it's not very well received to the world, we didn't intend on trying to please everybody. You know, really, we're the ones that live with it. And once you create music, it lives forever. So the more proud that we can be as a unit of what we're doing, that just makes all the sense in the world. That's all we really care about.
And if it's great, you get the fun journey of a record that people sleep on at first, or they don't hear, right, because they've got their own expectations. And then 5-10 years later, they're like, that's my favorite record now. That's,
dude, how many people's favorite records are growers and not showers? You know, it's like, yeah, it took me a while. Now I absolutely love it. As opposed to, you know, but if it's super accessible and you love it on first listen, that's great. But because of the layers and the complexity of parts and odd time signatures here and there, it's not such a, you know, listen once and be like, oh, I understand all of it. And you either like it or you don't, and that's fine. But yeah, sometimes it's like a slow cooker, you know, it's going to reveal itself, aroma, it's going to kick in, it's going to fill the house, you're going to get hungry, and then you're going to eat it, and you're going to love it.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Troy Sanders.
Well, and for a record like Crack the Sky, which again, you guys do the 50th anniversary of this and all the goodies that come along with that, not just the making of, but that movie, like, as we're talking here about, there's so much to take in. Maybe you don't get on the first, but if you saw you guys live and this silent film is playing behind you, full-length silent film, beautifully made, and the, you know, the opportunity of that experience to take in this album, that otherwise, you know, you've sort of got to connect a lot of the dots, you know, with the old brain box there.
Yeah.
But that movie, that like, that's such heavy lifting that you don't have to do. But, you know, as a group, as a company, even, you know, to kind of produce something like that. I mean, have you watched it lately? Have you seen it?
No. And then, you know, and then we did a 10th anniversary tour, co-headlining with Coheed and Cambria, where we pulled out Practice Guide, did it top to bottom again with the movie behind us. But damn it, I never turned around on stage and watched the movie like I should. So no, I haven't seen those visuals in quite a while, or I haven't even put eyes on it in 5 years minimum. So,
yeah, let me just tell you, it's really cool. Just that's my easy review right there, man. It is really cool. That whole thing, I just put it on, you know, as doing this and just thinking that it was going to be something I keep onto the side, you know, as I'm doing a little research and end up just watching the whole thing. Like, because what it reminded me of pre everything is available on the internet, when, you know, you'd be handed something by somebody in the 80s, early 90s, something like that, something that just didn't exist everywhere, that felt a little dangerous and a little scary, you know, like there's something about that movie and a lot of the stuff that you all do, like you're able to tap into that in a time where that's unheard of. That little video that you would get, Faces of Death or whatever it is, you know,
right.
Like, it's just like, that's, it reminded me of that feeling, which was really cool to revisit.
Good. That's great to hear. That's a perfect compliment. We do pay attention to, you know, visuals are huge to us, whether it be album artwork, our backdrops on stage, or the visuals that we create. It's the whole package. It always has been with us. That's why the idea of a, you know, vinyl has been huge for us.
Again, I just love that the work that you put all in on this. And beyond that, I mean, you do. You have these amazing packages. And the way you guys keep it fun, the stuff lately, the commemorative plate, the tiki mugs, the coffee.
Yeah.
Is this something that you all get to dream up as a group? They get, you know, it's going to be really funny? Or does somebody pitch this stuff to you?
No, it's all, you know, silly ideas that we have that we're not afraid to show who we are as people. And I think that slowly started coming out. I mean, you could see it on like the making of records when we would document and put DVDs with the CDs and stuff. We've always taken the music quite seriously, the subject matter, the art, like everything. But outside of that, the four of us we're a bunch of goofballs, you know? So we're not afraid to show our personal side. We're not afraid to reveal things lyrically and subject matter wise through the art that we call Mastodon. So if we have a funny skit that we want to try to mock ourselves or just for fun, or all the things that we've done, that's just a reflection of our actual personalities. And we're all huge fans of comedy. So, I mean, everyone can use a laugh.
It makes it a lot more fun. Even down to the, like, when you guys did Feist's A Commotion. I love Feist.
Yeah,
love having her on the show. That little trade-off right there. I mean, again, to say, like, take the music seriously, but also know when to have some fun with it. That's probably one. I mean, I don't mean this. I know it's a cover. It's still one of my favorite things that you guys have ever been a part of.
Love it. We do too, because that was, you know, when that idea came about, it was, again, it was like the band Feist is very different from us, but we loved their music, and it was really, we met them and we thought it would be a fantastic idea. And a lot of times you say, we got to collaborate. And it's like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll start a band together and all that stuff. Very rarely does it actually manifest into reality. And when they did our song, we loved it. And then when we did their song, we loved it, had a great time doing it. So again, just take a risk, do something cool, give it a shot. You know, worst case scenario, it's just, you can shelf it or forget about it.
Nobody has to know.
Yeah, go for it. Have some fun and try cool stuff, basically, or at least try.
For the risks that you've taken, 25 years or whatever, and for every album to be different in its own way and special, you're coming off the double album with Hushed and Grin. Like, does that add any kind of pressure though? When you're like, what's the next album got to be? Like, sure, you can dream it up, but there's a little bit of expectation for you guys that something about it's going to be different and special.
Right. You know, thankfully, we don't really sit down. Nothing is really preconceived as far as musically. whatever riffs are happening with people in the band, those come to the forefront. And we, if we like it, then we dig in on it and we try to get it to a spot where it can become hopefully a good song. The storyline, if we decide to have one on the next album, that will come if someone brings in an idea like, hey guys, I've been thinking about this thing. What do you think of da da da? And just, you know, and if it sounds interesting, compelling, then we'll dig in and give it a go maybe. But, at this moment, you know, we just wrapped up like 3 years of touring on Hushed and Grim. So we're excited to dig into some new music. That's for damn sure. But, nothing is written in blood or set in stone. But also nothing is off limits. If someone comes and says, what do you think of this, guys? Just hear me out. You know, and if it sounds interesting and, you know, unique and potentially fun to pursue, then we're in. We never really think like, hey, the last record was long. It was good. It was long and dark. And the subject matter was really, you know, sad. And so we need to do something different. Well, we're going to do something different anyway. But we're not going to do anything just to try to please our fan base. We're not going to do anything to purposely try to appeal to a new fan base or anything like that. It's like we've always just felt confident in whatever we do, people will see through it as authentic, and whether they like it or not is not, it's not in our hands anyway. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I'm excited to dig into new stuff with these guys. We've got a lot of loose demos that we've been collecting over the years of touring, so now that we're home, I'm excited to call the guys here in a few days after everyone reacclimates to home after a 7 week tour and be like, hey, what's happening? How you feeling? You want to dig in? You ready? You guys ready?
Do you think, projecting a little bit here, do you think having just spent all this time in the past few weeks with Leviathan, you know, with your every night with your head back there in 2004, does that, you think that has any influence on positive or opposites from where you go musically?
It's a good question. I mean, we were proud to play that record every night for the past month and a half. It didn't feel like simply nostalgia. It felt like, hey, this is a cool record. We know what it did for us. A lot of people love it. There's tons of people out there enjoying it as we're playing it live. So it was awesome. It's very possible that some of that ferocity and some of those quick riffs will be like, hey, you know, this is fun to play. It's very fun to play. So I wouldn't be surprised if some Leviathan creeps in, but it's still in the early stages, you know.
Too early, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again. Louder Than Life, you're going to be here in Louisville. I was just looking at that lineup that day. Motley Crue, Falling in Reverse, Dropkick Murphys, Filter, Disturbed, Local H, Body Count, 3-6 Mafia. It's going to be a fun
one. It's all over the place. Yeah. I love it. We always have a good time in Louisville. So, yeah, I'm glad these festivals are kicking ass and super healthy and awesome attendance. And so, yeah, when we got the offer, we were stoked to come back. This will be our fifth or sixth time doing the Louisville Fest. So I can't wait.
Yeah, glad to have you. All right, Troy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it. 15th anniversary of Correct This Guy out. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for taking the time.
Awesome. Thank you, man.
My thanks to Troy. Mastodon's 15th anniversary of Crack the Sky is out. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can pick up all the interviews that we do every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And again, please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. And that's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern each evening. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Morphine, Public Image, Radiohead, Ben Stiller, Bob Schneider, Jim Blossom, Sam Phillips, Billie Holiday, The Beautiful South, Barty Strange, Elvis Costello, Amy Mann, Amethyst Kia, John Lennon, Elvin Bishop, Sports Team, and my interview with Nikki to talk about her new album as well. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Was that okay?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.